Turn with me in your Bibles to our New Testament reading to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 6. We continue our sermon series in the full armor of God. And today we come to the helmet of salvation. We'll be reading verses 10 through 20 of God's holy word in Ephesians chapter 6. Hear then God's holy and inerrant word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. What is your response to the hearing of it?
Amen.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I begin with a question this morning. What does it feel like to you when you are discouraged? What does that feel like when you are facing discouragement in your life? Maybe it's you looking to the inside and seeing much to be disappointed and discouraged about in your own heart and in your own life. Or maybe it's looking outwardly at the circumstances which you are encountering and facing in your life, and you are tempted to discouragement. But what does discouragement feel like to you? What sorts of thoughts go through your mind when you are discouraged? Maybe your thought sounds something like this: why should I even try anymore? After all, nothing seems to really matter anyway. I just don't care anymore. I just want to give up. And maybe those sorts of thoughts have crossed your mind in times of discouragement. And discouragement, when we think about it, is debilitating. Debilitating for people, all people who are in existence on planet Earth. But discouragement is also debilitating for the people of God, those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's one thing to be discouraged about the past. It's another thing to be discouraged about the present. But it is still another thing to be discouraged about the future. Thinking of the future, of the weeks to come, the months to come, the years to come, maybe even the decades to come, and having hopelessness. Hopelessness that nothing is ever going to change, that all is dark, and discouragement has come in like a thief and has stolen away all hope. Well, what is the remedy? What is the remedy for discouragement? Well, the remedy for discouragement is restored hope. It is restored certainty and restored confident expectation. And it's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to actually recover those things in your life if you are suffering discouragement and trial. Well, how is hope restored? How is confidence restored? How is certainty restored? Well, it's restored by thinking differently and by seeing differently, thinking the truth instead of going over and over in your mind that which is false. By seeing things differently, that is, seeing things according to what God says in His Word. And so today, as we come to this particular piece of armor which God supplies to his blood-bought people, as you and I come to the helmet of salvation, we want to see what God indeed gives to us in Jesus Christ. God gives to his blood-bought people confidence and certainty, even as we put on the helmet of salvation. But we want to understand that this is something practical, and we need to figure out what it is that Christ gifts us with and how to appropriate restored hope, confidence, and certainty, particularly as we may be beset with discouragement. And so as we look at the helmet of salvation today, the Lord Jesus Christ calls you to fight the good fight of faith with certainty and confidence. The Lord Jesus Christ calls you, you who are trusting in Jesus Christ today, he calls you to fight the good fight of faith with certainty and confidence. He does this, first of all, by calling upon you and me to take the helmet of salvation. He does this, secondly, by calling upon us to recognize where the battle is hottest. And he does so, thirdly, by calling us to see that this confidence, this restored hope, must be cultivated. And so, Christ calls his people to fight the good fight of faith with certainty and confidence. First of all, by taking the helmet of salvation. By taking the helmet of salvation. That's what we read in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet is important for obvious reasons to a soldier who is involved in conflict. He needs to have his head covered in the day of battle. No soldier enters into the fray of battle with his head uncovered. Why is that, children? Why is it that a soldier always has his helmet on? Well, because he knows that if he is struck in the head and struck significantly enough, that that wound may very well prove to be a fatal wound. To be struck in the head is indeed always a danger of receiving a mortal wound. And so it makes sense that the soldier would have on his helmet as he goes to warfare. But here God calls the helmet something specific. He says that what he gives to you who are trusting in Jesus Christ today, he gives to you the helmet of salvation. Why does he call it the helmet of salvation? Well, let's see if we can't drill down a bit and try to grasp what God is saying here. Salvation speaks of rescue from danger. Salvation speaks of rescue from danger. And it's not just a word which speaks of rescue from danger. It is a word which speaks of being brought out of danger and brought into a state of security and safety. It's both and, rescue from danger and being brought to a place of security and safety. And so as the Christian soldier, the Christian disciple, the follower of Jesus puts on the helmet of salvation, there is a reference here to being rescued from the danger of eternal loss and being brought into a state of eternal security. And this helmet is therefore critical for the Christian, that Christ comes to rescue sinners from the danger of what their sin deserves, eternal damnation. And he comes to bring rescued sinners into a state of eternal security, everlasting life. And as then the helmet of salvation is put on, the Christian soldier is called to know certain things. To know three things in particular. To know, first of all, your present security in Jesus Christ. To know your present security in Jesus Christ, that you, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, that you are fully and freely justified by your God. Your sins are pardoned, Christ's righteousness is imputed to you, and you've received this once and for all justification from God through faith alone in Christ alone. And so the Christian soldier who has on the helmet of salvation is to know his or her present security in Christ. I am justified once and for all, and I am freely adopted into the family of God. Here is my security. Not only am I justified that the judge has pronounced that I have met all the demands of the law and that all my sins are pardoned, but I have been fully and freely adopted once and for all into the family, the eternal family of God. Now, it's important for you to see that you can't be partially justified or partially adopted. You either are justified or you're not. You either are a child of God or you aren't. And the Christian who has on the helmet of salvation knows his or her security, present security in Jesus Christ. But there's a second thing which the Christian soldier is to know. You are to not only know your present security in Christ as one who is both justified and freely adopted, but you are to know your ongoing security in Christ. Your ongoing security in Christ. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today. He dwells in you as the seal and as the guarantee of redemption. And God has said that the good work which He has begun in you, He will perfect, He will complete even all the way until the day of redemption when Jesus Christ returns in glory. And so to have on the helmet of salvation is to know my present security in Christ, to know my ongoing security in Christ, and thirdly, to know my future security in Jesus Christ. I've not only been rescued from danger for the present, I've not only been rescued from danger ongoingly, but I have been rescued from danger and brought into a state of security forever. Forever. To boast and glory in my certain and secure future, which is found in Jesus Christ. The day is coming for you who are trusting in Jesus Christ that you will be free from sin. And that you will be fully enjoying your Savior. The day is coming when you will be clothed with the glory of the resurrection and you will be close to your beloved. The day is coming when you who are trusting in Jesus Christ will enjoy the fullness of victory and you will exalt in the faithfulness of the one who has called you friend. And here then is the security of the true Christian. Now those who aren't trusting in Jesus Christ don't have this security. They may have hope, kind of like a hope which says, I hope it won't snow next winter in New Hampshire. But that hope is going to crumble. That hope is going to evaporate. It is not a solid hope. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, you have a solid hope, a solid security for the present, ongoingly, and for the future. And this is why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, give us a little bit more information on the helmet of salvation. It's there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 through 10, that we read the following. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. You see, the helmet of salvation is the helmet of hope. Not a fleeting hope. Not a hope which evaporates. Not a hope which is wishful thinking, but a certain hope. A certain confidence with regard to the future, with regard to my security and safety in the Lord Jesus Christ, both now, tomorrow, and forever. In fact, my future is not in doubt because I have the hope of salvation, a certainty of salvation in Jesus Christ. Think about it. We read from Isaiah chapter 59 today how Jesus Christ himself was the first one to wear this armor, right? He put on the breastplate and he put on the helmet of salvation. Was Christ's victory to secure salvation for his people ever in doubt? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. As Christ put on the helmet of salvation to run the gauntlet for you, all the way to Calvary's cross, to die for your sins and to be raised for your justification, to secure for you everlasting life and the pardon of all of your sins, to indeed guarantee everlasting life to you, which begins the moment you believe and is finally and fully enjoyed in the glorious resurrection of the last day. Was Christ's work as he put on the helmet of salvation ever in doubt? And the answer is no. And Christ, who wore that helmet, now shares that helmet with you and tells you to put it on, that you would not have doubt with regard to the present or to tomorrow or to the future of eternity, but that you would have the helmet of the hope of present salvation, ongoing salvation, and everlasting future salvation. Indeed, God's final salvation and all of its enjoyment is based upon God's unchanging promises, Christ's shed blood, and Christ's resurrection. And this is then what Christ places into our hands. As he says, you, my good soldier, the one whom I have enlisted in my army, you are to fight the good fight of faith with certainty and with confidence by taking the helmet of salvation and putting it on, knowing present security, knowing ongoing security, and knowing future everlasting security in the Savior who wore that helmet first. This leads then to a second point. A second point, as the Lord Jesus calls you to fight the good fight of faith with certainty and confidence. Secondly, as you recognize where the battle is hottest. As you recognize where the battle is hottest, you are to fight the good fight of faith with certainty and confidence. After all, Satan attacks each piece of the armor, which is here presented to us in Ephesians chapter 6. And it is the delight of the devil to rob you of your security in Jesus Christ. How does he do this? Well, he does this in two primary ways. He does this through discouragement on the one hand and distraction on the other hand. Discouragement and distraction. And this is where the battle is hottest with regard to the helmet of salvation. The devil wants to discourage you and destroy your confidence and security in the Savior. How does he do this? Well, in the time of trial, he is ever there waiting to whisper in your ear. The trial comes. It's difficult. It's hard. It feels crushing. And you are troubled in the midst of it. It seems long, and it seems like it is protracted. And what does the devil delight to do when trials come to your life? And there isn't a single Christian here who is exempt from trials. Christ has told us we will have tribulation in this world, so don't be surprised. But now the devil stands by and whispers when trial comes, and he says, surely this trial which you are going through will never end. Surely this trial which you are going through is too big for God. Surely this trial which is on your plate and which you are experiencing right now is evidence that God has forgotten about you. And so he seeks to discourage you. God is not present. God has forgotten me. God has indeed left me to misery. Or maybe temptation comes. You've been praying against temptation. You know that you're susceptible to it. After all, in a very real way, we are like kegs of black powder. And if we get too close to the flame, we just might explode. We have to keep away from sin and from temptation. And it's not just out there. The sobering reality is that we have temptation within as well. And so you pray hard against temptation. In fact, you pray the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. And yet here, temptation is knocking at the door. And there it is again. And the devil is ready to whisper, to discourage you. To discourage you. God doesn't really hear your prayers, does he? If he did, why all these temptations which afflict you and which you are so prone to fall into? And so, the devil says, you're all alone. And he wants to discourage you and rob you of your security and of your confidence in the Lord. A time of pain comes, and the devil is there, and he says, there is no relief for you. Maybe it's loss of health. Maybe it's a loss of comfort or loss of wealth or loss of a loved one. Loss, 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 and they just keep adding up. And the devil is there to whisper, even through ones whom you would not think. Think of Job. And the devil working even through his wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? It's sobering to think that even temptation can come through the ones whom we love and the ones who love us. And the devil is at work. There seems to be pain which is unbearable. And the devil whispers, God doesn't care about you. And so maybe there is physical trouble. Maybe there's spiritual desertion where God is bringing you through the wilderness. Maybe there is indeed a loved one whom you've been praying for years, a child who's gone astray, and you pray and you plead the promises of God. God, you said, and there appears to be no measurable answer to your prayer. And the devil says, see, God's promises can't be trusted. And he wants to discourage you. He wants to rob you of your confidence and hope in the Lord. He wants to paralyze you. He wants you to say it's not worth it anymore to serve the Lord. But you must put on the helmet of salvation. You must indeed fight these things with the means which God has given to you. Does that mean that all your problems are simply going to go away and evaporate? No. Does that mean it's all going to be easy? No. Does that mean that you won't feel at times the crushing blow of the trial? No. But it means that I know my present security in Christ, my ongoing security in Christ, and my everlasting security in Christ, and that he will never leave me nor forsake me, even though I feel forsaken, even though I feel crushed, even though I feel struck down. And so I speak to myself the truth in the face of the lies of the evil one who would seek to rob me of my hope, security, and confidence. Because what does the devil know? Well, as one author put it, the person who thinks he has nothing worthwhile to look forward to, has no reason to fight, work, or live responsibly. It's true, isn't it? If next week, next month, next year, and next decade are bleak, it's pretty hard to put one foot in front of the other. And the devil knows if he can rob you of the hope of the future and of your eternal hope in Jesus Christ, that he can paralyze you and sideline you. And so, this is where the battle is hottest. And God says, take the helmet of salvation, wherein you will think my thoughts after me, wherein you will focus your eyes where I want you to focus. Because the devil doesn't only seek to discourage, he seeks to distract you. How so? He wants to distract you from looking at the hope of glory which God has promised to you and secured for you in Jesus Christ. The Christian life is spent in a very real way looking both backwards and forwards. We look back to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. But we recognize that the finished work of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago has secured a glorious future for us, which sweetens our service to the Lord. We look back and we see Jesus paid it all. And we say, hallelujah. And we look forward and we say, Jesus has secured all, and our service to Him is thereby sweetened because of our focus upon the now. To forget the glories which are to come. He wants to distract you so that you indeed try to find your satisfaction in the things which are passing away. And maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've seen it even in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. You've seen one who was converted to the Lord, and he was zealous for the Lord, and he was eager to follow the Lord, and he spoke much of heaven and much of the glory to come, and it had a practical impact upon his daily living. And yet as time went on, he began to cool off in his zeal and began to focus on the things on earth without reference to the eternal glory to come. It's just what Jesus speaks about in the parable of the sower, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 13, it's there in Matthew chapter 13 that Jesus tells us that some of the seed of the word falls on ground which is infested with thorns. And how does Jesus put it? Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Here's the devil distracting you from that which is of eternal significance. As you look backwards to the finished work of Christ on the one hand, and as you look forward to the eternal glories on the other hand, these two realities actually don't make a Christianity which is pie in the sky by and by, but actually make Christianity exceedingly practical for today. Because I have confidence in what Christ has done and a certain hope in what he has secured for me. Therefore, my life today has purpose and meaning in my following of the Lord. And so, the Lord Jesus calls you to fight the good fight of faith with certainty and with confidence. We take up the helmet of salvation so that our ears would not listen to the whispering of the devil, that our hearts would be informed by the Word of God, and that our eyes would be focused upon what Christ has secured for us and its practical implications for today. This leads to a third and last point this morning, as the Lord Jesus calls you to fight the good fight of faith with certainty and confidence by taking the helmet of salvation as you recognize where the battle is hottest, and thirdly, as you see that this must be cultivated. This certainty and confidence must be cultivated by you as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan must be combated right here. Reality must be restored, and the mirage which Satan sets before your eyes must be fought against. We need indeed to be cultivating certainty and confidence in the Lord. And I believe this starts with asking a question. And the question is this: who am I in Christ? Who am I in Jesus Christ? It's a question of identity. Who am I in Jesus Christ? What does this mean for my past? What does this mean for my present? And what does this mean for my future? I need to ask this question. Who am I in Jesus Christ? Am I in Jesus Christ? Am I united to Him by a living faith, knowing that He is for me and not against me, knowing that I am His and that He is mine? Well, if I'm in Jesus Christ, this means that I have an assured inheritance. I have an assured inheritance. Yes, when I am tempted to think that the future is bleak, I listen to God's word. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 tells us that we are children of God. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 goes on and says, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see, if I'm in Jesus Christ, this means that I have an inheritance which is absolutely assured. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But I need to keep reading in Romans chapter 8 lest the devil discourage me and distract me, because Romans chapter 8, the very next words say, if we suffer together with him. You see, sometimes we buy into a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel and we don't even realize it. We measure God's faithfulness on the basis of how smooth my life goes. But Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, we are children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if we suffer together with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which God has prepared for us. You see, here is hope, confidence, and certainty at work in the Christian life. A faith which is rooted in the finished work of Christ, and a hope and certainty which is based in the glory which Christ has secured for me to come. And therefore, I can pull down God's calculator, as it were, out of heaven, and I can compare and contrast the sufferings of my present time with the glories which shall come, which are certain to come. This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says we don't lose heart. Oh, we're tempted to lose heart. We're tempted to be discouraged. We're tempted to be distracted. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Who am I in Christ? If I'm in Christ, united to him as my head, my Savior, and my Lord, then my inheritance in him is assured. And that cultivates hope, confidence, and certainty. Who am I in Christ? Well, if I'm in Christ, my inheritance is assured. My victory is certain. How so? Well, we profess the faith using Psalm 27 today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We are guaranteed the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as we suffer and go through trial and tribulation and are squeezed, we are guaranteed the victory. We are guaranteed the victory. After all, if I'm in Christ, not only is my inheritance assured, not only is victory certain, but I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Isn't this what Scripture says? It's fascinating. Romans chapter 8 again, quotes from Psalm 44. We are counted like sheep for the slaughter all the day long. There's the joyful Christian life. Right? We conveniently forget passages like that. But that's in the middle of Romans chapter 8, which is often, right, the treasure of the people of God. We are counted like sheep for the slaughter all the day long. Nevertheless, We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Oh, this is why the apostle can say in Philippians chapter 3, and I pray you can say it as well, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Are you in Jesus Christ? Your inheritance is assured. Your victory is certain. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and you can have absolute confidence in the outcome. So then you can persevere. You can put one step in front of the other, even when it hurts. Even when nobody else around you seems to understand the pain, the difficulty, the loss, the trial, the heartache which you are going through. The Lord knows. The Lord is with you. He has not forsaken you. And you can hear even Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You see, the helmet of salvation is focusing you upon the glories to come which have an impact upon your daily life now. Rescued unto security. Security in the Savior. My resurrection is guaranteed. This is why the apostle can say, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. This is why when death even strikes in the family, and when a loved one is lost, death can be laughed at and even taunted. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You see how confidence in the future, rooted in a security in the past, Christ's finished work, gives meaning to the present. So that I have confidence and security to fight the discouragement and the distraction which comes my way. So, the Lord Jesus, the one who wore all the armor first to secure salvation for us, now gives us His armor to wear. It's tried, it's tested. And just as Christ put on the helmet of salvation with absolute certainty, that the victory was His. So we put on His helmet, and we have certainty and confidence as we face the challenges, the pushbacks, the difficulties, the disappointments of life in a fallen world, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so, Christ ran the gauntlet for us all the way to Calvary that we might have such honor. Now, I trust you, each one of you here today, young, old, young, are trusting in the Savior, in His finished work for you, and in the secured glory which He has secured for you. If you don't know what that means, if that's strange to you, if you are standing, as it were, kind of on the outside and looking in, today the Lord says, how could you miss out on such great benefits? Do you not desire what Christ alone can give? Not a hope which perishes and falls apart and evaporates like the hope of the world, but a certainty and confidence which impacts every day of your life, rooted in the finished work of Christ, indeed feeding upon the glory to come, to enable you today to fight the good fight of faith with confidence and security. Oh, we as the people of God may face discouragement. We certainly will be tempted with it. And here the Lord gives us focus and gives us the very armor of Christ purchased for us on Calvary. Take hold. Grab hold. Indeed, may Christ grab hold of you. Amen. Pray together with me. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we ask that your word would be sealed to our hearts today, that there would be none who go away from here today uncertain, but rather that you would trouble us all to make sure that we are secure, rescued from danger, from everlasting woe, and secure as children of God, justified with an inheritance which is incorruptible and full of glory and which fades not away. We pray, our God, that you would help those who are downcast and discouraged today, who are having a difficult time putting one foot in front of the other. Oh, may you enlarge all of our hearts to come alongside of one another with encouragement and even bearing of burdens. And may we together put on the helmet of salvation and focus upon that which Christ has secured for us, a future hope which can never perish, which impacts our present. Oh Lord, help us. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.